In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone and welcome to your program, Horizon, a program that tries to broaden your horizons and enrich your souls. Well, this last Friday, actually the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, marked a historic day in the world today. That was the International Day of Quds, where millions and millions of people worldwide took to the streets of different countries and different corners of the world, trying to protest against the Israeli and the Zionist regime's atrocities against the innocent Palestinian people. Well, on the importance of this very, very important day in tonight's program, we're actually allocating tonight's program on this very important, actually, event, and we're going to discuss some very important aspects of it with our distinguished guests, which will join us via phone from different parts of the world today. You can also reach us through our, let's say, phone numbers, which will be presented on your screen shortly, and have a say in your programs. Your comments are fully appreciated. Well, let's get started, but first and foremost, let's have the program blessed with the prayer of the day. Afterwards, we'll talk a lot about the International Day of Quds.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O Allah, verily I beseech Thee in Thy name. O Charitable One, O Benefactor, O Judge, O Proof, O Sovereign, O Approver, O Forgiver, O Elevated One, O Helper, O Holder of Blessings and Manifestation, praise be to Thee. There is no God but Thee, the Granter of all Sakar. Protect us from the fire, O Lord.
Amen. Well, the last Friday of Ramadan each year, that is the Friday, October 20th, is marked around the world as Yom al-Quds, that is the International Day of Quds. Imam Khomeini, may his soul rest in peace, began this tradition shortly after the Islamic Revolution in Iran as an annual affirmation of the Ummah's solidarity with Muslims of Palestine in their struggle for the liberation of Al-Quds. Ramadan is the month of struggle, that is jihad, and it was in Ramadan that Muslims fought their first battle batter, culminating in a resounding victory. It was also in Ramadan that Mecca was liberated from the clutches of idol worshippers. It was therefore highly appropriate that Imam Khomeini, may his soul rest in peace, should place the symbol of the struggle for liberation of Palestine and Al-Quds. Imam Khomeini did not appeal to the Palestinians to rise up on the basis of Arab or Palestinian nationalism, nor did he call the regimes in the Muslim world to liberate Al-Quds. Imam Khomeini located the struggle of Muslim masses in the very roots of Islam in the month of Ramadan, when Muslims worldwide fast together from sunrise to sunset. Well, we're going to discuss it more, but first of all, we have invited a very distinguished guest of the program to join us and actually help us learn more about this. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with our distinguished guest. You'll learn more about it. Welcome back. As I mentioned earlier, we have invited a very distinguished guest to join us via phone today to help us learn more about the International Day of Quds. We have with us the university lecturer and professor, Pierre Dortigay from Toulouse, France. Professor Dauthier, hello and welcome to your program, sir.
Thank you for your invitation, and especially for this distinguished day, to this quite very important day of Al-Quds.
Well, Professor Dauthier, it's always a pleasure to have you on board with us, sir. Professor, as you know, just last Friday, millions and millions of people worldwide in the Islamic world, as well as even non-Muslim world, the countries took to the streets and protested against the Zionist regime's occupation of Palestinian territories and, of course, the whole Judaization process and so on and so forth. Now, what can you tell us about the importance of this great event?
Yeah, sure. You're right to say that it is a very, very important thing because I think that you have two significant, to my opinion. The first one is that this day, Imam Khomeini said, must be a day, a worldly day, a day of mobilization in the entire world for the liberation of Al-Quds. And at secondly, I think that this manifestation must show virtue of generosity, because it is this what he intended deeply, Imam Khomeini,
yes.
That the struggle in favor of Palestine must always stronger and stronger become, because alone the Palestinians are before in front of before and today, in front of a very, very important, big enemy. This enemy is not a generous one, but an avaricious. He won't take all the property of Palestinians. He won't kill people. He won't deprive Palestinians of water. He won't deprive of houses, because he wants to establish a place of domination in name of falsity of scripture. Because there is a combination of violence and of lie.
Yes.
I remember that once Winston Churchill, at the beginning of the century, you know, he said in a letter to the Zionist Federation of Manchester, he made a promise. He said, Jerusalem must be the only ultimate goal. It means your goal. And during the First World War, he named the attack of Ottoman Empire as a crusade, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there was a coalition of big interests, of financial interests, you know, of tyrannies against the liberty of all people. And Imam Khomeini understood very well that, firstly, the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood cannot subsist with a solidarity around the truth, around the generosity, around the freedom of Jerusalem, and secondly, no liberty for all people in the world if the people let the domination of Zionists to be pursued on. And I think that it was not only a sign of generosity, but a sign of big, big, big cleverness for Imam Khomeini, and is the reason why us in Europe and everywhere in the world, you know, we see this manifestation of today as a necessity, as the best, you know, the best help for the Palestinian people, and we are proud that there is a land like your land in Iran,
who
is a symbol, this place, the symbol of this resistance, you know, is very helpful for all the brotherhood and for all the people who is loving justice, you know,
yes.
and God. Without loving justice, we cannot say you're a friend of God.
Well, thank you for that. Now, Professor Dauthier, I have this question about the formation of the Zionist regime. As we all know, well, the Zionist regime did not exist up to a couple of decades ago. It was formed by the, in a sense, we could say, world arrogance. Now, of course, obviously, the reason was not just to pity claimed for some miserable Jews. They wanted to create a state for the Jews to live in. Now, what do you think were the real reasons behind the formation of the the Zionist entity.
Yes,
and by that, let me also...
Thinking always to the same bad person, I think, to Winston Churchill.
Yes.
He said on the same matter, Jews must be in Palestine not by their sufferings, but by right. And that is, I think, you can find in this short proposition the root of the lie.
Yes.
It's not a question of pity. It's a question, you know, of plot.
Yes.
Against the liberty, I repeat it, of all the people. And especially by the negotiations of today, you know, in Palestine, we assist to a ruse, you know, we assist to some bad strategy for mistaking all the people on the true significance, you know, of the presence of Zionists. It's not a question of pity, question of tradition, question of sufferance, question of justice for them. It's a question, you know, of tyranny, of arrogance, of domination.
Yes.
And the main word to be retained around this day of Al-Hod is a term of resistance, and resistance with cleverness, with a strong belief, with a strong faith. I think it's a practical conclusion, you know, about this day. And we have to denounce the propaganda, the media, you know. This influence of Zionists is only because of the expansion of their lies. We have to struggle their lies. Their lies are their only strength.
That's right. Well, Professor, I'd just like to remind our viewers that once we talk about the Zionist regime, we are not talking about the Jewish people. As a matter of fact...
Yes, yeah, sure.
As a matter of fact, even, some of these Zionists try to, accuse Muslims of anti-Semitic, sensations and sentiments, which is not true, because Muslims, Christians, and Jews all live in, harmony. They don't have any problems with each other. They respect each other. They all believe in the same God. But the story of, Zionists is totally different from that of Jews, which the majority of which are nice people, are hardworking people, and are respected in Islam too. Professor Dohtiga, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us, sir, and wish you a great, great time. Hope we can have you with us for the future programs as well.
Please, thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Very much,
Mr. Au revoir. Merci.
Thank you. Have a great time. Well. Let's take a short break. We're gonna watch a nice report that my colleagues actually have provided for you. We'll be right back after this with a lot more, so stay with us.
Zionism, which is the ideology behind the State of Israel, and the State of Israel is something which is totally forbidden according to Judaism, the Jewish religion. The Zionism is this transformation of Judaism, the religion, into a base materialism, nationalism, to have a land. It was created by people who detested the religion, Theodor Herzl, Ben Gurion, all these people who detested the religion, were against the religion and were non-religious, openly, and their plan and their goal was simply to uproot God and religion from the Jewish people, and one of their issues, ironically, is because to have this nationalism, they have to have a state, a land, and it happens to be that according to the Jewish law, since the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago, we were expressly forbidden to go and create our own sovereignty. There is the prophecy of King Solomon, which is upheld by the Jewish people, which is that Jewish people since the destruction of the temple, were put under oath by God not to go up en masse to the land, the Holy Land, not to rebel against any nation. We have to be loyal citizens, and not to in any manner try to end the godly decreed exile. Waiting for when God will make a metaphysical change in the world where all humanity together will go up and serve God in harmony. That's the Jewish belief. So the Zionists are breaching every concept of godliness of the Torah. Now, just to add on to that, to compound this sin, the tragedy is that the land would be forbidden for us as a sovereignty, even if it would be uninhabited, being that the Palestinian people were living there. So it just now they're killing, they're stealing, expelling people, oppressing them, everything that's against religion. The concept of religion, of Judaism, is that we have to emulate God, to be compassionate, not to steal, not to kill. So Zionism is in truth a definite contradiction, the diametric opposite of Judaism. If they are this so-called nationalism, and they call themselves a so-called democracy, why are they using the religion? Why have they taken the Star of David? And why do they call themselves the State of Israel, which is Jacob and the Torah? The reason is because they're charlatans, they're con artists, they're simple, cheap thieves. And they realize that in order to get support from the world and sympathy and to intimidate people, not to oppose them, they're going to use this veil of religion and say that they're representing God. And they wave the Bible to legitimize the taking of the land from the Palestinian people and attacking others and discrediting others as being anti-Semitic.
That was a great report, actually, revealing some, only, I could say nothing, but just some of the atrocities of the Zionist regime, actually, against the innocent Palestinian people. And that was actually a Jewish rabbi revealing some words of God, as actually revealed upon Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. And actually, he mentioned the fact that the Zionist regime is, in fact, contradicting the very essence of Judaism. Well, we have more of that coming, but we do have a caller online. We have Kianush from England, a TV producer. Kianush, hello and welcome to your program.
Hello, and thank you for having me on the program.
Well, Kianush, as you noticed, just this last Friday, millions and millions of people worldwide actually just took to the streets in support of the innocent Palestinian people, in support of the Palestinian cause, and protesting the atrocities of the Zionist regime, the occupation of the Palestinian territories for years. Well, what was the situation in England, and specifically in London?
Basically, we had the Quds Day rally in London today, Saturday, 4th of September, and there were many people who turned out. There was a massive turnout, but there were many Zionist and fascist groups planned a counter-demonstration. But it is our duty to stand up for the good of the oppressed more now than any time before, and no matter where they are right now. And right now, the Palestinian people are being the most oppressed. In this year's International Quds Rally was the largest ever in London, and this will send a reassuring message to the solidarity of the Palestinian people.
I see. Kianush, were there any reports of violence whatsoever?
Basically, Zionist groups and fascist English Nazi groups planned a counter-demonstration, and they were trying to demonstrate against the Quds Rally. But the Quds Rally had many people from different walks of life, Muslims, Christians, English people, Jewish. There was even a rabbi there who said that Zionism and is the state of Israel is against the Jewish religion. So the counter rally of the Zionists was so small it did not affect the big Quds Day rally, and the police were basically not letting the Zionists and the Quds Day rally mix with each other.
I see. And what can you tell us about the impact of holding such rallies?
The impact is great because this rally was started from Marble Arch in central London and ended at the American Embassy in London. Many people were watching the rally and they were seeing pictures of oppressed Palestinian people, and many English people and many non-Muslims felt pain and saw the oppression.
And what was the level of awareness? Were they aware of what they were actually witnessing? Were they being informed about it?
Yes, they were aware of what they were witnessing, because many Muslims were handing out leaflets in English to non-Muslims, people, you know, on the street while the rally was happening, and telling them what was happening in Palestine. Plus, there were speeches outside the American Embassy by about six different leaders. One was a Muslim one was a Muslim guy, the other was a rabbi, the other was an atheist, basically saying what is happening in Palestine. And because everything was in English, the English people could understand. There are also people in the streets of London, which I was very surprised about, holding up pictures of the late Imam Khomeini, peace and blessings be upon him, and Hassan Nasrallah, shouting, "We're with Hamas, we're with Hezbollah."
Yes, I see. Kianush, thank you very much for joining us. Wish we could have it for much longer, but I'm afraid I'm being told that we've run out of time. Thank you. Hope we can have you for the future program as well.
Thank you very much.
Have a great time. Well, actually, we do have another caller from Chicago. Hello and welcome to Horizon.
Good afternoon. At least it's afternoon my time. I understand it's early in the morning in Tehran, huh?
Well, yes, indeed. Can I have your name, please?
My name is Ali Sadra.
Okay, Ali, tell us about the World Quds Day in the United States.
Well, maybe I can't speak for everyone in the U.S., but in Chicago I can share with you what happened yesterday.
Okay.
There was a gathering, a demonstration yesterday, the third Friday of Ramadan. It was downtown Chicago, right in front of the City Hall. There is a plaza known as Daley Plaza, and there was somewhere around 100 to 125 people who had assembled, and there were speeches and there were some signs, and the people were demonstrating on the occasion of the Day of Quds, as Imam Khomeini had called for it.
Yes.
And there were three speakers. One of them was Maulana Abidi. He is the imam of one of the masajid in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the other speaker was a rabbi from Canada.
I see.
And they both spoke eloquently. They both called for cooperation between the sincere members of all religious communities. And they both agreed that Zionism and Zionists do not represent all Jews. The rabbi from Canada was very clear on this point. He asked the audience to not assume that the Zionists represent all Jews in the world, and he regretted the terrible crimes that the Zionists have committed against the men, women, and children of Palestine over the last 60 years. The demonstrations lasted somewhere between 1.5 to 2 hours.
Yes, I see. Well, turning to politics now, Ali, as you know, the Washington actually talks, the so-called direct talks between the Zionist regime's officials and the PA, the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, and some certain, let's say, lenient Arab states were held in the presence of the United States State Secretary Hillary Clinton. Now, with regards to the timing of the talks, Don't you think there was the timing was actually scheduled on purpose, just right before the International Day of Al-Quds? Wasn't it to undermine?
I think there is no question that they had timed it to try to take attention away from the Day of Quds. There is no doubt about it. And I can share with you my opinion. I have been following the Nakba, the disaster that has come down on Palestine and the people of Palestine the last 30, 40 years I've been following it. I can tell you clearly, without any hesitation, that these so-called peace talks are nothing but circus acts.
I see.
They are put on for public consumption to mislead the public, to dissuade the public from turning against the Zionist regime that commits horrible crimes and atrocities in occupied Palestine. So what the U.S. government does is nothing but a circus act.
Yeah.
Incidentally,
charade.
The European governments, before the U.S. took over the sponsorship of the Zionist regime, it was the Europeans who used to conduct circus act peace talks.
Okay.
This is only to waste time and mislead the public.
Yeah, as a charade for just let's say, well, Ali, thank you very much. We have run out of time. Thanks for the very the great report, and have a great time.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. Well, we do have a caller from Iran, actually the city of Iraq. Let's find out who our caller is.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to your program.
Hope you're in a good midnight, Mr. Arafat.
Well, thank you. I didn't catch your name.
My name is Behruz Bakhshi from Iraq City, Iran.
Your first name was Ali?
No, my name is Behruz Bakhshi from Iran.
Okay, Behruz. Well, Behruz, thanks for joining us here in the program. Behruz, tell our viewers about the, let's say, International Day of Quds in Iran.
For the very first time, I want to give my warm appreciation to your comprehensive call-in program.
Thank
and
you.
And special thanks for providing your audiences to participate in prominent discussions.
Well, thank you for that.
I'd like to allow me to share my opinions. Can I?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, as a matter of fact, each conviction or belief has its own customs and laws. However, the position of religion is something beyond these descriptions. One of the most significant matters of Islam is its motto of solidarity. What I'm trying to say is that, so as to realize the ultimate goal of unification in whole Islamic countries, the Muslims should demonstrate and prove what they literally believe in. The following Day of Quds we are currently talking about is a simple solution. A particular day for showing the sense of brotherhood, fraternity, and love to our counterparts who are oppressed in a sacred land of Palestine.
Yes.
Personally, I presume that joining the queues of people who shout a call of duty is not merely a symbolic action, but also a strong response to the entire universe, stating that human rights, of course in their own words, is something, is an absurd slogan to be concealed behind, and let the human beings in Palestine to suffer from pains and robbed of their own primary needs. And to sum up, I can consider the Quds Day an important event that demonstrates the single voice of freedom to Palestine. And these are my remarks for maintaining the facts.
Well, Behruz, thank you for your great remarks. Also, I'd like to add that besides the great points that you just mentioned with regards to the message of peace and unity, which the rallies in the International Day of Al-Quds sends to the people, it also has a clear message for the Zionist regime, of which has occupied Palestine for years, that the Muslim worldwide actually have full support for the Palestinian people. I'd like to thank you very much, Behruz, for joining us here in the program. Unfortunately, we have run out of time for our conversation.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity of talking your live program.
Well, thank you. Thank you. The pleasure is all ours. Have a great time. Well, that was Behruz Bakhshi from the Iranian city of Iraq. Well, we as Muslims cannot afford to be unaware of the continuing threat to the city of Al-Quds and the mosque itself. Major strategy of Christian Zionists and Zionism against the mosque has been to undermine it by opening tunnels running below it in the name of archaeology and science. Well, and the Zionist atrocities, of course, which are ongoing daily against the innocent Palestinian people, the crippling siege of Gaza, which has led to the martyrdom of a great number of people just because of the fact that they do not have access to the very basic necessities of life, including food, medicines, and so on and so forth. Well, we're going to talk more about this, but first of all, let's watch a great clip. We'll be right back with more. Actually, that was a great clip calling for the uprising of Muslims against the tyrannical Zionist regime. Well, as you know, we're spending the last days of the holy month of Ramadan, the Feast of God. Of course, Ramadan is not actually, it does not offer some instructions regarding, let's say, refraining from sins and not doing some only physical acts. It's much more to that. To learn more about the holy month of Ramadan, I actually have chosen a great book for you. The title of the book is Fast of the Month of Ramadan, Philosophy and Ahkam. It's actually authored by Yasin T. Al-Jabouri. It will help you learn much more about this great, great month and the practices involved with the great month of Ramadan. We'll hope you get the chance to read this great book and learn more about it. Well, I'm afraid that I'm being told that we have run out of time for tonight's program. Just remember that Al-Quds lies at the heart of Islam and the Islamic movement. Al-Aqsa Mosque was the first direction of prayers as Qibla before being changed to Mecca during the first year of Hijra. Well, this only tells you just a little bit about the importance of this great place to all of actually Muslims around the world. Well, we have run out of time for this edition of the program. Send us those wonderful emails of yours. Until the next edition, goodbye and God bless all of you.